Anyway, tonight we are doing a little Bible study on stewardship. So I'm definitely no expert in the area of stewardship. However, I've learnt a lot because I've made many mistakes in the area of stewardship. So I feel I've got a lot to give in that space, and I've learnt a lot of things the hard way, but I'm still learning as well. And I'm a lot better with stewardship than what I was when I was a younger man, and I've had to be for many reasons, but hopefully we can learn something from the Word of God tonight and also from the wisdom of other things. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. Wherever we are, Lord, whether we're in our homes, Lord, or we're listening on our headphones somewhere else, wherever we may be, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint our hearts, Lord, anoint our minds, Lord, and help us to be open to your word, Lord. Help your word, Lord Jesus, to plant seed in our hearts, Lord, and bring forth fruit. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me also to teach your word tonight, Lord Jesus. Use me as your vessel, Lord, to be able to reach our hearts and minds, Lord Jesus, with what you would want to say tonight, with what you would want to say from your word, Lord. Help me, Lord, to expound on it, Lord Jesus, and to explain it, Lord, in the right way, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing tonight, Lord. We pray for the church, Lord. We pray for Pastor Stan. We pray for Assistant Pastor Sister Gina, Lord, also, Lord, for Sister Robin and all the people of the Pentecostals of Sydney, all those that are unwell, Lord. We bring them before you, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you would heal them. And Lord, be with us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16, and starting in verse 1. So the book of Luke, chapter 16, and starting in verse 1. And it says, in the word of God, it says, "And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him, that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, How much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, Take your bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is fruitful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That's our heavenly riches. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon was a god of fortune. He was a god, basically we can use mammon as a metaphor for money or riches. So we can't serve God and money. However, God gives us blessings And it is up to us to be good stewards of that blessing. The meaning of the word steward, if we look at the Greek word that is used here for steward, it's oikonomia. Oikonomia. What does that sound like? The word steward is oikonomos. It is the source of the word where we get the word economy from. And it applies to fiscal matters. It applies to monetary matters. It's a combination of two Greek words, the word oikos, which means house, and the word nomos, which means law. So the law of the house. Essentially, it's management. How do you take control of the affairs of the house? Joseph was essentially the steward in Potiphar's house. He looked after the affairs. He managed all the affairs of the house because Potiphar was too rich and busy to do that kind of thing. Many rich people will have managers to look after their financial affairs. You know, if many busy people have money managers, financial managers, who look after the management of these things. Some people are rich enough to afford to have a maid who can manage the things of their household to make sure the dinner's cooked, the kids are fed, kids are doing their homework. They kind of delegate the work of a parent to a maid. Hence, it applies to management of a household with an emphasis especially on financial administration, this word oikonomos, which is born out of the New Testament, such references as Luke 12:42, where it says, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" God has entrusted us to manage resources that he's given unto us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." That's 1 Peter 4:10. And we'll just read that out one more time so that we can get that up on the screen. 1 Peter 4:10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So the manifold grace of God means that God blesses us and shows us grace in many various ways. He shows us grace through, obviously, forgiving our sins, but also he gives us grace in terms of giving us another day to live, putting money in our bank account, giving us a job whereby we can make a living, putting a roof over our heads, food in our bellies, clothes on our back. This is the manifold grace of God. He blesses us in many ways. He may have blessed you also with talents and certain skills and abilities. This is the manifold grace of God. So we need to be good stewards and manage our time, treasure, and talent. That's our time, treasure, and talent. And if I'm able to get the PowerPoint presentation up, we need to be good stewards and in how we manage what God has given us in time, in treasure, and in talent. If we move to the next slide. Time, treasure, talent. So we need to manage and plan how we use these things God has given us. In life, we should have goals. We should have goals. We should be able to plan what we're going to do with our time, talent, and treasure by having goals. And if we go to the next slide, we see that there are some ways of setting goals, some good ways of setting goals. These are called the SMART goals. So we should always write down goals. They should be specific. So they're specific goals, not just like, oh, I want to go, let's, you know, use an example of something, you know, we could be doing in our life. I want to study something. You can't have that as a goal. You want to study something specific. What do you want to study? What is it exactly that you want to study? In what way do you want to study that goal? It needs to be measurable. It needs to be something that you can measure. The goal should be something you're able to go, yep, I know I've achieved that. I can tick that off because it's measurable. It needs to be also achievable. It needs to be within your scope, something you can do. You know, I could have a goal. I could come up tomorrow with a goal and say, I'm going to be an NBA basketball player. That's probably not achievable for me. I'm 6 foot tall, not quite tall enough, and I'm not that good at basketball, and I'm far too old to start a basketball career. And Brother Terence is up there on the sound desk, is far more better at basketball than me, and he couldn't teach me enough to become an NBA player. So it's unachievable. It's outside my scope. It's not something possibly that I could ever accomplish. So make sure it is something that is achievable, but make it something challenging. Not just, oh, my goal is to get up today. Make it something that will push you beyond your normal limits. Something that is achievable within your bounds of possibility, but still beyond what you're normally used to. Also have relevant goals, you know, or realistic goals, something that actually applies to what we want to do in life. And so if we want to have goals in our life in the kingdom of God, they need to be relevant. They need to be goals that actually matter in our life. And if we're living our life unto God, our goals should be relevant to that cause. Also, they need to be time-bound. So we need to make sure that we restrict some sort of time limit to it so that we've got something to aim for. Not like, and I'll use another example, it's like, I'm going to travel to New Zealand one day. It's like, okay, when? Ah, one day. Likelihood is you may never travel to New Zealand because you never set a time for that to happen, and therefore you never start to put into place the plans that you need to do to achieve that goal. At work, I do a lot of project planning. That's part of my role. I have to plan projects. Got multiple projects sometimes going on at one time. This is in my my job at, you know, outside of church. And in project planning, there's three things that we always have to look at. And if I can get that up on the slide as well. If we go, oh, somewhere, maybe next one. Next slide. Here we've got our scope. So that's basically what we want to achieve. What's the thing you're trying to build? What's the goal you're trying to achieve? That's your scope. Then you've got the cost. What's it going to cost you in time, in money, in resources? And also, we've got time. Sorry, cost is like money and resources, these kind of things. And then time. How long is it going to take? How long do you have in order to reach your goal? And then quality. If any of these things change in terms of the scope, the time and the resources, it will affect the quality of what you're going to do. Obviously, if you have a big dream, a big goal, but you don't have a lot of time to do it or a lot of resources, the quality of what you produce is going to be poor because you don't have the time and the resources in order to come up with something that is of the right quality. So you need to make sure that you plan on what scope, time and resources, whenever you're planning any project or any goal or anything that you want to achieve that's of a bigger nature in life. When you're planning, you need to obviously plan. If we go back to the slide before, the previous slide before, if you see it at home, we need to plan, prepare, practice, pursue, produce, and then ponder. That means we need to sit down and think about what we're going to do, have a plan. Then we need to prepare. Do we need to study, learn something? Is there something we need to do before we can actually achieve this goal? Is there something we need to do before we can begin the plan? We need to practice. You know, is there something we need to put into practice, develop a skill, or do we need to just start doing something? Then we need to pursue that goal and also produce. Come up with a result at the end. And then ponder, think about what you've done. How would you do things differently? How would you do them better if you had to do it again? There's a famous story about what they call a cautionary tale about a boat called the Torrey Canyon. It was the 18th largest ship in 1967, and the captain of the ship decided to take that ship through such a narrow channel that he left himself no room for error. And of course, when he was in that channel, which he could have made, it was a possibility, but it was so narrow that everything had to go right. And obviously, not everything went right. And so he was caught out by an undercurrent, which pushed him along. He also had one of his staff on the ship take wrong measurements. And then when he went to turn the wheel of the ship and turn the rudder of the ship, a part had been switched off and the ship didn't turn. And before they had time to realise what was going on, that ship crashed and oil spilt all across the southern coast of England, all because he didn't leave himself enough room for error and he wasn't willing to change his plan once he was on it. He had plan continuation bias, which is for a whole nother time. But plan continuation bias is basically failure to recognise that the original plan you had is no longer appropriate and for the changing situation, and for that the situation is different than what was anticipated. So you need to be able to change plans when necessary as well. So always change plans. Now, what does the Bible say about time management? If we go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 15 and 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 17. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That means walk with, you know, knowing what's going on around you, with awareness. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil," or the days are chaotic. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, the Good News Bible, which was a Bible I read when I was 10 years old, I like the way it puts it in very simple language. It says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people, but live like wise people." It says, "Make good use of every opportunity you have, or the time that you have, because these are evil days. Don't be fools then, but try to find out what the Lord wants you to do." So time management skills. The better that you are at maintaining focus and managing your time, the more you'll be able to achieve in life and the easier it will be for you to complete things on time. Not only do effective time management skills allow you to get the better results in your work, and it also helps you to withstand stress, but it helps you to have a much more fulfilling life, you know, in church, in your God, life with God, and also just in your personal life. The following strategies can help you get the right things done in less time. So I've got a list here. So first one is start your day with a clear focus. Know what you're going to do. Have a schedule, you know, and think about what you want to achieve from that day. Have a clear focus. Don't think about what's going on. Make sure that you come with purpose. You check what you need to do. If there's something very important that needs to be done, that gets done as quickly as possible, that takes priority. And that leads into the second one, which is to have a dynamic task list, which might be part of your calendar as well, but it captures the tasks and activities that you're going to do that day. But it needs to be dynamic. And what dynamic means is that you can change it. If some other priority comes along that's more important, you're able to shuffle things around and put something off and therefore focus on that new priority that's just come in. And making sure that you have these things organised and have yourself a task list. Like I always say, that famous saying, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. So make sure you're actually aiming at something that day. Make sure that you have a task list. Make sure you start the day with a clear focus. Focus on your high-value activities. And I wish I had that video, but you know that they've got that guy who gets the jar and he goes, and he tries to put all these rocks, and then he tries to put smaller rocks in, and then sand. But if you put the sand in first, you can't get the bigger rocks in, if you've ever seen that video. If you haven't, go on YouTube it. But You start by putting the big rocks in first. Then you can put the smaller rocks in. Then you can put the sand in and it'll all fit into the jar. Make sure you focus on those high value activities first. Assess which activities you need to focus on first. You know, what is most necessary? What's the greatest priority? What will happen to me if I don't do these things? What things, if I don't get them done, will affect me in the worst possible way or affect others in the worst possible way? Make sure you have a strategy. Make sure you prioritise. Minimise interruptions. It's easy for us to get distracted or get interrupted throughout the day. And we've got to make sure that any interruption, if it isn't worth being interrupted for, that we try to minimise that and focus on what we're doing. For example, avoid checking emails and answering the phone when you're in the middle of something important. These days we've got our phones in our hand and we can get very distracted by starting to look at our emails or what's happening on Facebook newsfeed or some other thing, or somebody sent us a message and all of a sudden we're not focused on what we're supposed to be doing right then and there. Stop procrastinating. We're all guilty of this, and I'm one of the worst. But if you have difficulties staying focused or tend to procrastinate, you may benefit from creating an external commitment for yourself or a deadline for yourself. For instance, schedule a meeting in 2 days' time where you'll be presenting work by which your actions will have to be completed. You know, these kind of things. Schedule for yourself a deadline. Say, I want to get this done by this time. And allow for some contingency. Allow for some room for error. So set yourself a time limit before things actually need to get done so that you've completed them and then you've got time up your sleeve. But stop procrastinating. Get up and do what needs to be done. If you get it out of the way first, you know, it's that old thing like with the kids and eating their vegetables. I hated vegetables as a kid. I can't say I really love vegetables that much now, but I know some vegetables I like that I never used to like, but other vegetables I still don't like. But I know I have to eat my vegetables. So I like to eat my vegetables first. I get that hard thing out of the way first. And then I know I've eaten my vegetables. Now I can start to move on to the nice stuff. But if we start to get the hard things out of the way, then life is a lot more easier if we start with the hard things first. Limit your multitasking. You know, sometimes we can try to multitask. Sometimes we've got no choice. I'm in my job, I'm in meetings for a lot of the day. I probably am sometimes in 7 to 8 meetings a day. And thankfully now with the online meetings, and we're meeting by Skype a lot at work, I can get some work done during those meetings. Problem is though, if I'm so engrossed in what I'm doing, somebody all of a sudden goes, "And Ben, what's your thoughts on that?" And I'm there going in a panic, trying to dig myself out of a hole. And I either try to wing it or I have to ask, what is it that you mean? And obviously that's not a place you want to be. You want to focus on the activity that you're doing and make sure it's getting done properly. When we multitask too much, what we're trying to do doesn't get done properly. You know, I notice, I like to listen to podcasts, and I do it while I'm doing housework, if I'm washing the dishes or hanging the clothes on the line, whatever I might be doing. But if I'm so engrossed in my duties, if I'm so engrossed in my work, I have to replay the podcast because my mind can't sort of handle what's going on too much, mainly because I'm a man. Women obviously can multitask generally better than men. However, I do try my best at it when it's not going to affect what I'm doing. But try not to multitask too much. And review your day. Go back over and think about what you did that day and how you could have done things better and planned for things better. But most of all, we need to have time for the things of God. And that's what we need to do. When we plan our day, we need to make sure that we make time for God. And if I could have that slide up. And that's prayer. We need to have time for prayer. So if you do, now I pray first thing in the morning, because I know if I don't pray first thing in the morning, I'm not going to pray. So I get that done first. I get prayer done first so the devil doesn't try to rob me of that time later in the day. And I start the day on the right foot. It's like spiritual breakfast to have prayer. I've got a rule. I can't look at my phone until I've prayed and I've had some time with God. and therefore then I can start looking at what my calendar is and all that sort of stuff. But I need to pray first. Make sure you spend time with God first. Communicate with God. That's what you need. Fasting. This is a very important thing to be a part of our lives. We need to have fasting in our lives. We need to make time and make a schedule for, you know, whether it's one day a week that you fast or a couple of days a week that you fast. Whatever the timing is, set for yourself a schedule. Not like wake up one day and think, oh, I guess I'll fast today. But have a set schedule of when you're going to fast. Also, reading and studying of the Word. Not just reading the Word, and it's good to read, you know, maybe you want to read a chapter or two every day, but also study the Word. Have a start to get into the Word, start to do some theme studies, start to do some Bible studies on your own as well. Start to teach others a Bible study as well. One of the best ways to learn, obviously, is to get a Bible study, but once you start teaching others a Bible study, you learn so much as well. Also, service. You know, we need to give time in service to the Lord. You know, there's precious people here giving their time on the camera and on the sound equipment and so forth, on the overheads. They're giving their time in service. They're giving their time as unto the Lord. And, you know, we have singers, we have ushers, we have all sorts of Sunday school teachers. We have all sorts of people doing awesome things for the Lord. And we need to be giving our time in service to the Lord. Now, that might be for us teaching a Bible study, or it might be for us visiting somebody. It might be praying for somebody. It might be giving someone a phone call, messaging someone, seeing if they're okay. These are very simple things that anyone can do in the Lord, no matter how long you've been serving the Lord. Also, church attendance. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We got to make sure that we have church attendance. Now, obviously, in this day and age, I'm talking to an empty church because we have these coronavirus restrictions. However, once we're up and running again and the church doors are open and we don't have these restrictions anymore, try to make sure you're in the house of God. Try to make sure you're in the house of God as much as you can be, because this will assist you in your walk with God. You know, even when you're going through a tough time, I know in the late 90s I was going through some hard times, you know, I was basically backslidden in heart, but I dragged myself to church. Because I knew if I just kept coming to church, kept coming to the presence of the Lord, things would start to change. The Lord would start to work on my heart. And He did, and He delivered me from those times. Money management. How we manage the treasure that God has given us. So in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, that's Luke chapter 14, verse 28, it says, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it." So remember we said about when you're planning a project, you need to look at your scope, your resources, your money and so forth, and your time. If you don't have enough money to do the project, then you can't do the project. Or you need to de-scope things. You need to reduce the scope. You need to think of something smaller, come up with a smaller plan. But you need, whenever you know someone's going to build a tower, they need to think about, well, I can only build a tower that the money will allow me to build. So if you don't have sufficient money to finish that tower, then don't start building it. So God has given us treasure. He's given us money that we have to make sure that we use wisely. And the first point, the first thing that we need to do is to give to God first. Tithes and offerings. So do this first. Get it out of the way first. As soon as your pay comes in, what I do is I go online. I do it by direct deposit. I direct deposit into the church bank account. Boom, out of the way. It's not going to be spent. It's the first thing that comes out of my bank account, or our family bank account, as soon as we get paid. That goes straight into the church account, and it's like I never had it. It was just come in, out. I don't need to worry about it. Rather than waiting till you're on your last legs at the end of your pay cycle and then think, oh, I'll pay my tithes now. Don't do that. Do it first. Give of the first fruits. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10 says, "Will a man rob God?" This is Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. "Will a man rob God? But ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? in tithes and offerings. And then verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So make sure you give. Whatever you give is going to be given back to you by God. And you don't give to get, but you give because you want to give. You want to see the kingdom of God grow. You want to see the things of God, you know, happen. You want to see the church able to pay the power bills and for pastor not to have to, you know, get a job driving Uber through the week. You know, we want to make sure that we're blessing the things of God, that we're blessing the house of the Lord. Amen. Also, we need to budget for everything. Budget for everything. Maybe if you're not good at budgeting, why don't you do this? Make an Excel spreadsheet. And I think on the next slide I've got an example of that. We can come back to this slide. So if we could go to the next slide, just to show you what I mean. It's a really poor example, but because it's not going to be in the best fashion. But basically get an Excel spreadsheet and list everything you spend for your pay cycle, whether that's a weekly, a fortnightly, or a monthly pay cycle. List everything, all the bills, all the things that you got for that pay cycle. And also look at your bills and add them up over a year, and then start to think about, and then divide it up into a pay cycle. So if you spend, I don't know, $5,000 on electricity every year, I don't know, even though if that's a lot, then divide that by 26 if you get paid fortnightly, or divide it by 12 if you get paid monthly, or 52 if you get paid weekly. And start to track everything that you spend. And then look at all the things that you spent over that time and think about the things that you've spent that you shouldn't have spent money on, or that you could have spent less money on. And then start to make a budget based on that. Start to make a budget and set aside things like what you want to save money for and things like that. Think about these things, but set yourself up a budget. The things you have to pay for, and then also the things that are more discretionary that you don't have to pay for. So make sure there's even apps you can get that will help you to budget. But review things as well. Make sure you're not getting ripped off on things. Sometimes you've signed up for some online subscription, it's coming off your credit card, and you go and have a look and you go, oh, hang on, I don't even use that. And how come I'm spending that much on this? So make sure, go through and review what you spend your money on. Then automate your savings and bill payments. Set up another account that's separate to your normal bank account where you funnel off savings. And as soon as you get paid, there's an automatic deduction that goes to that saving account. And that way it's really good at saving for those things that you have goals that you have that you want to achieve, whether that you know, might be going away somewhere or wanting to buy something. But you set up an automatic saver account and just shoot that money out as soon as it comes in. Also, another good thing that you do is to automate your bill payments. And like I said, that's like measuring all the bills that you pay, work out what you pay over a year, then divide by your pay cycle, and then every time you get paid, pay that amount that you would normally pay divided into the pay cycle. So, you know, like I said, if you pay, $12,000 for something every year in a bill, then you divide by, and you get paid monthly, you divide by 12, and that's $1,000 per month you spend on this particular bill, and you make sure you pay $1,100. You put a little bit on top to make sure that you're always in credit. So that's a good way to keep on top of your bills, that you're prepaying your bills ahead of time and you're always in credit, rather than getting the bill later and going, oh, I didn't know this was going to come. Oh, where am I going to get the money for it? You've already paid for that as soon as you got paid. Purchase used. Don't always buy new stuff. You know, look for things that are cheap. My wife's always on the internet looking for free desks and free stuff. And also sell your old stuff. You know, if you got things around, we had council pickup day and you see all the hoarders and the tinkers coming around and they're picking up everything. But there's a lot of stuff that you could be throwing away that could be worth something on eBay or Gumtree. Be generous to others. Make sure you give to others. Give and you shall receive, it said in the book of Luke. Give to those in need. There's poor people that need. And if you have been blessed, then bless somebody else. Bless somebody else with a meal even. Just show generosity and kindness, because this is part of being a Christian. Share with others what God has blessed you with. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, every man accordingly as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not, okay, I'll shout you this coffee, but you owe me one. Or of necessity, I'll shout you because I have to. But for God loves a cheerful giver. So we don't just pay our tithes, give our offerings and give to others because we have to or because, you know, somebody made us. But we do it because we're a cheerful giver, that we want to give to others and we want to bless others because it makes us happy. And I tell you now, if you do give to others with the right attitude and right heart, it will make you happy. You'll be such a happier person by giving, by being a free giver. You see those people, they're always shouting people. They're happy people. Get creative. Find fun for free. You know, sometimes we've got these big entertainment bills, but there's things you can do that are free and don't cost any money at all. And so, yeah, find out things that you can do for free. Go for a walk somewhere or something. Beware of automated payments such as online subscriptions. So we're living in an age where we've got this subscription culture. And, you know, so beware of those media subscriptions, fashion subscriptions, shopping subscriptions, Spotify, Audible, all these other subscriptions. You might not even be using, or they may not be of much use to you. So be careful of that lazy shopping, the subscription service. Sometimes they're necessary, but only keep the ones that are necessary. Cook at home. Don't eat out all the time. You know, it's probably going to be healthier that way. At least you know what you're putting in your food. And sometimes you can eat the same meal for two nights. You know, if you make a big pot of spaghetti bolognese, thank God for microwaves. You know, make the best use of the leftovers. You can eat it for lunch or whatever. And earn some extra cash. Maybe there's something else you can do, you know, in your spare time to make some cash. You know, start an Etsy shop or, you know, drive Uber and you can witness the people while you're driving Uber with your mask on. Or you can have a garage sale with friends, whatever the case may be. Also paying cash for discretionary stuff. We live in this society, you tap, tap, tap. Next thing you know, you look, oh man, where did all that money go? Why not take out some money, a set amount, that's your allowance for you know, your coffees and your other, your sort of discretionary items. And that way, when the money runs out, it's gone. Once the cash is out of your wallet, you've got nothing more to spend and you're stuck. You're left with only the essentials. Use online coupons. There's the browser extensions out there that'll help you get some deals and get some cheap, you know, deals. Also, beware of the special syndrome. My mother, and I love my mother dearly, but she'll go and buy things from she loves the reject shop because it's cheap. And she'll go and she'll buy all this stuff from the reject shop. And I go, why'd you buy that? You don't need it. She goes, but it was on special. But you don't need it. But it was on special. Just because it's on special, love you, Mum, doesn't mean you need it. All right? Don't buy something just because it's a bargain. Buy something. Buy bargains, don't get me wrong, but only if you need it. And lastly, manage your talent. Manage your talent. We see the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 and 30. And I'll just read verse 14 and 15 of Matthew 25. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So he gave him 5, 2, 1, see ya, I'm gone. Make some money, I'll be back. And when he comes back, the one that he gave five to made five, the one that he gave two to made two, and as we know, the one that he gave one to went and dug a hole and hid in the backyard, and then came, gave back in his one talent to the boss. The boss was like, "One, you put it in the bank, you could have got some interest. Instead, you just hid it. What have you done?" So the beautiful lesson that we glean from this parable is the response of the master to the two that actually made more from the talents that were given to them. They were not commended for what they made. It wasn't like, "Oh, well, you made a lot of money, that's good." But they were commended, but on their performance, that they were commended for being good and faithful servants, for being obedient and faithful. If they had tried but not made that much talents, I don't think that the boss would have been as concerned, say, with that guy that got the one talent. If he at least tried and done something with that one talent, even if he hadn't have made that much, the Lord would have rewarded his faithfulness. The boss would have rewarded his faithfulness. And so we see that in Matthew 25, 21. You know, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The master was impressed by their faithfulness. Success in God's sight is not measured by what we are, but rather it is measured by what we are compared to what with what we could be. So success is not merely a measure of what we do, but it is a measure of what we do compared with what we could be doing. With what we could be doing. So may the lesson of the one talent servant be forever etched into our minds and hearts. That, you know, we either use what God has given us or we lose it. So with our talents, we need to plan, we need to have goals, like I said, using those smart, you know, some sort of system to make sure we're achieving our goals in the best possible way. But you need to write these goals down. Have them written somewhere. But have some goals in the kingdom of God. Have something that you want to do and achieve in the kingdom of God. Prepare. We need to prepare. That means study. You know, if you want to be a musician in church, you need to learn your craft. You need to practice your craft. If you want to be a teacher, you need to study the word. If you want to do something for the Lord, you need to prepare. You need to make sure you're ready to do it. You need to practice and study. You need a good example. There's that Netflix series at the moment talking about the final series of Michael Jordan at the Chicago Bulls. I think it's called The Last Dance. And there's one quote in it where Michael Jordan first arrived at the University of South Carolina, and I think it might have been the assistant coach that said to him, you know, or he said that he wanted to be the best basketball player ever at the university. And he said, "Oh, how are you going to do that?" And he goes, "Well, I'll work as hard as anyone else." And then the assistant coach said to him, "You're going to do what?" "Yeah, you got to work harder than anybody else. You got to put in more than anybody else if you want to be better than anyone else." So we need to practice. We need to study. So in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we need to study the word so that we're approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. That we can be approved unto God, you know, proven. And also we need to perfect, be the best that we can be in our calling. If we could get that slide back up again, sorry about that. So if we could perfect and be the best that we can be in our calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ." Here we have teachers, pastors, apostles, leaders, evangelists. We have people in church that will help us to develop our talents and to help us to be the best that we can be in God. And we need to, you know, make sure that we listen to our mentors and to our leaders and help them to guide allow them to guide us in utilizing our talents best and making sure that we're of best use in the kingdom of God. You know, whatever our talents and abilities and skills may be, that we're putting them to best use in the kingdom of God. The main thing is that we're busy, that we're enthusiastic, that we're giving our time in service, that we're willing to use our talents, that we're not shyly putting them away or hiding them somewhere in the backyard, but we're putting them to use. We're developing them. We're not just going, oh, well, I'm talented at this, and then, you know, not even developing that any further. But we make sure we perfect what God has given us. We make sure we practice it. We make sure we improve in it so that we can be the best that we can be in the kingdom of God for His glory and for His sake, for His kingdom's sake, for His honor, and to make sure that we are approved unto God and make sure that we're doing what we can do, what we've been made to do, what God has purposed us to do by giving us the skills and experience and ability and talent that He has given us, because He's given that for a purpose. And we've got to make sure we utilize that for the purpose that God has for us. So ensure that you utilize and properly manage your talent. So just in overview, again, we need to be stewards of our time, our treasure, and our talent. Make sure that, you know, be wise with your money. That doesn't mean, you know, you need to, you know, live like a super frugal sort of person that never, you know, spends money on anything that's fun or nice, and you never get to eat ice cream, say, for instance. If you want to live that frugally, that's fine. For me, I'm going to eat ice cream. But so long as I'm not spending all my money on ice cream, or I'm not paying bills or giving to the Lord because I'm spending money on ice cream. So making sure that we prioritize how we use our money, and make sure that we give and give unto the things of God, because that is important, and God will bless us. God will bless us immensely. I know that when I started tithing, and I've gone through this testimony beforehand, but I had some jobs. I was working in warehouses. I was working for like $300 a week, cash in hand, and I didn't pay my tithes regularly. I was kind of slack with it. And then all of a sudden, I decided to pay my tithes, and God opened doors and gave me better jobs. And then I started getting promotions in those jobs. And I just saw, you know, the windows of heaven open up in my life because I was faithful paying my tithes. So I think when you give to the Lord, you know, you can't go wrong. So making sure we give to the Lord with our money, with our time, making sure that, you know, you manage your time wisely. We're only given 24 hours a day. If we spend it all day cruising through Facebook, time's gone and we've wasted our lives. We'll look back on our lives and we'll go, wow, that time that I was looking at that Instagram feed, that's not the things you're going to remember. You know, I'm just as guilty as anybody else of going on Facebook and Instagram and wasting time on there. But if you set for yourself a schedule and you make sure that, you know, that you've got objectives through the day and goals through the day, and you want to get things done, you need to have time for exercise. You need to have time for family and spend time with your family, spend time with your friends, spend time with the people of God in fellowship. We need to make time and assign time for that. We need to make sure that we've got time for learning. All these other things that we need, that are important, that we need to set time aside for. But most of all, time for prayer, time for reading and studying the Word, time for fasting, time for service in God. So that's, you know, teaching or however else we can serve God, and also time in church attendance, faithful in the house of the Lord. And lastly, how we manage our talent, how we're stewards of the talents that God has given us. Some of us are multi-talented. I know some people that can do it all. You know, they can play an instrument, they can preach, they can sing. It's just amazing what God has given them. Some people, they can just do one thing. But if it's just one thing God has given you the ability to do, or a talent to do, do it well and do it unto the Lord. Do it with your best ability. Perfect it. Be the best that you can be in it. If all it is, you know, I don't know, being a greeter, and I'm not putting down greeting at all, but, you know, some people find that super hard. Some people are talented at it. They have a smile on their face. They know how to engage with people. They know how to greet people well. If you're a greeter, be the best greeter that you can be. Be a greeter that when that person comes through the doors of this church, that they say, wow, that is the friendliest, nicest, most considerate greeter I've ever met. You know, and they'll remember that experience as a positive experience. Whether it be, you know, collecting the offering, you know, do it unto the Lord. Do it in a way that is going to make God happy and does the best for the kingdom of God. Well, that's all I've got for tonight. I trust you got something out of it, and hopefully we've learned something. If you need any notes, I'll send, you know, any notes through if you let us know. You know, if you need any help with budgeting, like I said, I'm not the world's expert in budgeting, but I've learnt lessons and I've learnt many the hard way. And, you know, if you somehow get a message to me, I can see what I can help you with. But anyway, make sure that you tune in Sunday morning, 9:15 and 11:15, for Joshua Carson, the UPCI Youth President, who'll be our special guest speaker for both morning services this Sunday, for Pentecost Sunday. That's Pentecost means 50th day. It's 50 days after the Passover, after Easter, and that's what we're celebrating on Sunday. So he'll be our special guest speaker. Make sure you tune into that this Sunday, and also to any other groups and events that we've got going on. Please join up for that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for everything you've blessed us with, for the time that you've given us, for every second, every hour that you've given us, every day that we wake up and we have the breath of life once more. Lord, help us to use that time in the best possible fashion unto your glory, Lord, for your purpose, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to use our time effectively, to manage our time properly, Lord, to not waste time because the days are evil. Lord, also, Lord, help us to manage the treasure that you have given us, all the any money that you have given us, any resources that you have given us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to use it to bless you, to bless others, and Lord, to be a good witness, Lord Jesus, that we're people that pay our bills and that we don't mismanage our money. But Lord Jesus, we use it wisely, Lord, that we're wise stewards of the manifold grace of God. And Lord Jesus, help us to manage our talent for the things that you have put in us, Lord, the skills and abilities, the experience, the things that we have learnt, the things that you have put in us, Lord, to be used for your glory, for the ministry, for serving others, Lord, for helping to build and edify the church. Help us, Lord Jesus, to effectively use the talents that you have given us. Help us to perfect those talents and to, you know, be skillful, Lord, in those talents that you have given us. Lord Jesus, we just pray, Lord, help us to have a good week. Help us to reach out to somebody this week, Lord Jesus, whether it be a friend or family member. Help us to reach out and talk to them about the things of God, to testify of the good things that you have done in our lives. Maybe to invite them to an online Bible study. Maybe to invite them to watch the church service this Sunday online. Maybe to, you know, somehow get more in touch with God and the things of God. But Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to reach out. Help us, Lord, also to reach out to a brother or sister, Lord, that we haven't heard from, Lord Jesus. Lord, in this time, Lord, where we cannot meet physically, Lord, help us, Lord, to reach out to those that may be struggling, Lord, during this time where they might feel isolated and lonely, Lord. Help us to reach out. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, bless this church. Help us to grow. Bless all the churches around Australia. Lord Jesus, we just ask, Lord, that the coronavirus cases continue to drop, Lord, so that we may be able to meet physically very, very soon. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Good night.